to the book of Exodus chapter 20 and Genesis chapter 9. Keep your finger in both of those places. In Genesis chapter 9, keep your finger in Exodus. Let's go Genesis. I know most of you, if not all of you, have been watching TV or listening or seeing on your phone. The last day, we had some guy come in and to Walmart in El Paso, shoot and kill 20 and shoot 26 more. Then we had same night in Dayton, Ohio, some guy around some bars and things up there shot 8 and was shot and killed himself, or killed 8, and then wounded, I think, 12, 16 more, including his own sister. He killed her too. And of course, there's others as well. I noticed in Lexington News, another one was killed, and it seemed like one's killed in Lexington about every day anymore. Reminds me of Cincinnati up there over the Rhine, the way it used to be, in Newport.
There was 8 in Chicago last night
killed, and that's a war zone within itself. And you ask yourself what's happening. I want to deal with who and why are people murdering? Who's doing the murdering and why? Now, I want to look at some concepts about it in the Bible. Of course, we know the first murderer in the Bible was Cain. Cain was expelled by God and put a mark upon him, and he had to flee. And he said it was too much for himself, but he built a big city for himself. In chapter 4 of Genesis, and you look back there, then he had a descendant that thought, well, if Cain did it, then he had some people say some things about him, make fun of him. And so in verse number 23 of chapter 4 of Genesis, the Bible says, "And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." In other words, they said, listen, these guys hurt my feelings. They said some things I didn't like. I didn't appreciate it, so I killed them. And he said, "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." And he was bragging about it. Had no conscience about it. Cain had no sorrow. The only thing he was sorry about is the punishment God gave him. He was not sorry for his brother. You look at his attitude toward God. His attitude toward God when God gave him a chance to make it right, and the results of what he did. And he went out there and he slew his brother. Then in chapter 6, you find, and by the way, humanity goes forward, but when humanity is going forward, it's also going backwards. It always has. In chapter 6, when God got ready to destroy the world, notice what the Bible says in verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with" what? "Violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with" what? "Violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." In other words, people had gotten to the place in their life where violence. What causes people to be so violent? Why so much violence? And we have violence everywhere. You know, I was thinking about Kathy sitting there. She's starting school here. And I was thinking about the violence that we've seen just erupt in your school. I mean, it got dangerous last year there. and other schools as well, but I just know from some situations that you all went through, and I know one teacher was beat pretty severely there, and you get thinking about the violence, and I think somebody else shot somebody, and supposedly over this or that or the other, I can't remember what happened, stabbed somebody. But then you look and you see all this violence. What's going on? Well, God, when he destroyed the world, he said, violence have increased, and I've got to deal with it. So he said, when I destroy the world, I'm going to wipe this stuff out. So when he come off the ark, notice if you would in chapter 9, he told Noah this in verse number 5, and surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it. In other words, if the beast end up killing somebody, God would require that beast to be put down. And by the way, let me say this. If you got a violent animal, you shouldn't be upset if somebody puts it down, if you're hurt, if the animal is hurting somebody and got potential killing somebody. I've seen people keep violent dogs, for instance, around little children. Then all of a sudden one day they turn on their child and they wonder why half their face is taken off. But when you have a tendency to have a violent animal, sometimes you got to take, I love animals myself. I've been attached to dogs and I love them, and I love the companionship. But when they get where they are dangerous, you got to do something about it. Look on. And he says also, at the hand of man, of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So God said, listen, Noah, this is the way I'm going to deal with it. I want man to create a government. And that government's going to be given responsibility when someone maliciously kills someone, they are to have their life taken. Somebody said, I don't believe in capital punishment. That's exactly what he just stated right there, was capital punishment. When someone maliciously, and I heard someone make the statement, heard one of the liberals make a statement on there about the guy down in Texas. He killed 20 people, shot 26 more, and the prosecutor said, we are going to seek a death penalty as soon as possible and take every advantage that we can. Let me ask you this question. Why would we want to put a person like that back out in society? Why would you even want to put him in a prison system? He has violated by taking the oath of a life. Now, turn with me again. Keep your finger there in Exodus. And go back over in New Testament a minute. And go to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 13. The Bible says in chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Every leader, every president, listen to me, every president that we get is ordained by God. He's put there for a reason. And God permits it. You say, well, does he allow this one that's wicked? He allows it. Does he like it? No. Would he prefer to give better leaders? Yes. But sometimes we get exactly what we ask for. But the leaders are ordained by God. And those of you would, in verse number 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Notice verse 4 real quickly. For he is a minister of God to do thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that what? A good government executes wrath upon people that does evil. Now, when you have a government calling evil good and good evil, then you got a problem. The problem I've got with most of this liberal bunch that's running around, the Looney Tunes that he was talking about this morning, is the fact of this. By their own statements and by their own actions and by their own policies, they hate America and they hate government that exercises and executes the power to serve judgment and sentence upon people that have done wrong. And so therefore they are anti-government. And what happens is, if you look in chapter 10 of Romans, while you're there in Romans, look with me in chapter 10. And what happens is this. Look in verse number 3. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish what? Their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know what the problem is? People have gone away from God. They don't submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Used to, the moral issue was not a question in this country. When you got caught in certain situations, they executed the judgment and righteousness there because they knew what the Word of God taught. Now they are ignorant to the Word of God, so what they've done is set about to establish their own reasoning and their own righteousness. How in the world? You know, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, how in the world she could take and she could uphold this MS-13 that come across. I mean, those are murdering thugs. They'll kill you for nothing. And they only kill you, they cruelly kill you. I mean, they have ways of executing you in ways that's fearful. And what they want to do is strike fear in the heart of people. And how in the world these sanctuary cities that's supposed to be there to protect people can take illegal aliens and anyone else, but we know illegal aliens, and they keep releasing them back in society after they've killed and done damage to people. It just does not make sense. And that's what they've done. They've rejected God, and they've rejected the fact that we act that way toward a human being. Because man is special above animals, he's created in the image of God, and therefore someone who takes the life of a man is by his own, by man shall his life be taken. Now, let me say this. Anytime you take life above the government taking life, when you take life and do it in a premeditated way of murdering somebody, you have taken the place of God. The Bible says the issues of death are in the hands of God. Amen. You let God take life. That means even your own life. You don't have the right to take your own life. You leave it up to God when you need to depart from this world. And let God handle that situation. But anyway, I want you to notice that. And I'll come back to Romans here in a little bit. But let's go back to Exodus where I had you at. And while you're turning there, I want to read one verse in Proverbs. You can turn there if you want to, or just listen. In Proverbs 21, listen to what it says in verse number 7. It says, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. When you refuse to do judgment upon people, they wax worse and worse. When there is nothing that prevents them from doing that, now, so we've got some of these people wants to make a name for themselves. And so what they do is they go out and think they're going to go out in blaze of glory. And we hype their names when they do something like that. We've seen murdering all through the scripture for all different reasons. Remember Jezebel over a vineyard killed Naboth? Remember that? Because Ahab was whining about it and wanting it. Give it to him as a present. But look at you in Exodus chapter number 20. In verse number 13, the Bible says, thou shalt not what? Kill. That's avenge a killer, just slay somebody. It doesn't talk about accidentally killing someone. The Bible makes excuses for that. But in Exodus chapter 21, notice in verse number 12. Chapter 21, verse 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be what? Surely put to death. And so, therefore, we've got to understand that. Somebody said, well, you said if somebody breaks in your house, you would shoot them. Look, if you would, in chapter 22, in verse number 2. If a thief be found breaking up, that's breaking in, and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. You want to live? Don't walk through my door in the middle of the night. You walk through my door and you threaten my family, you threaten me, and you're liable to die. Not that I'm out wanting to seek to kill somebody, but I have the responsibility of protecting. Now, also we find in the Bible that when someone accidentally killed, a while back we preached on the city of refuge. They had places that they could go when it was an accident. But the Bible says several other things, and let me say this. One of the beginnings, and somebody said, well, there wasn't murdering like this years ago when I was growing up as a child. There's a couple things that I think attributes, and I want you to listen. One thing that I think has attributed is a Supreme Court ruling, January 22nd, 1973, that all of a sudden decided that babies' lives could be taken. It was covered in the Constitution some way. To kill an innocent baby, the most unprotected, vulnerable individuals in our country. But what it did was it began to cause people to be insensitive to life. Then the elderly is coming next. And they're insensitive to the needs of the elderly. And so what happens is it begins to destroy society. But we know that God, David wrote in Psalms 139, that before you was born, before you was made, while you was a substance, while you was being made, God already had all your members written in the book, and somebody's going to be accountable for a soul that kills that soul. They're going to be accountable. Amen. Abortion is as much as murder as anything else. And let me say this. Whoever commits those murders upon those babies are going to be held accountable. And they're going to have to give an account. We have turned abortion into convenience. I go out and get sex and have sex and do whatever I want to. If I get pregnant, I'll just wipe it out by eliminating the baby. But God's going to hold you accountable. You've just stepped in where God is stepped in. What has caused and who in the world would murder someone? Look, if you would, turn back, if you would, to the New Testament moment with me. And let's look at a couple of verses. And by the way, the Bible teaches self-defense. It teaches war, fighting and killing in war, and those type of things. And so that's not what murder means. Murder means intentionally slaying and premeditating. What gets a person to be able to kill somebody? Look back, if you would, in Romans chapter number 3. In Romans chapter number 3, begin reading, if you would, in verse number 8 or 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under what? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, what? Not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of what? Cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to do what? Shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, let me say this. Who is it that's capable of murdering anyone? You hear me? Anybody. The heart is deceitful and wicked. Nobody can rule anybody out. And these people here are people without Jesus. They've not been saved. They don't have the fear of God. I don't know about you, but if I didn't have any other reason to not go and shoot up a mall and kill a bunch of innocent people, I'd fear facing God.
Amen.
I'd be afraid to die and go out murdering people. That would scare me to death. Why? Well, look, if you would, in Rome, in Revelation chapter number 21. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and what?
Murderers.
And whoremongers and sorcerers, adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. So I want you to know that God does not hold guiltless the crime of murdering. And I want you to know that we have all gone out of the way. All of our hearts are susceptible. Look, if you would, in the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 7. Or Mark, rather. Mark chapter 7. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20. Jesus speaking, he says this. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and what?
Murders,
thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheming, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from where? Within, and they defile a man. Now listen to me. There are some things that you can do to greatly enhance your ability to get where you take someone's life. One is not putting away your anger. That's why the Bible says that you don't let the sun go down on your anger. You sit there and you boil and you fume over this thing that somebody has done you wrong. The guy down in Texas, from what I understand probably, is the fact that a lot of the Mexicans and people like that had come across the border and had taken over the towns. And he fumed about it. He learned to have hatred in his heart. And when you have the love of God, it keeps you from having hatred. It's hard to hate somebody when the love of God is in your heart.
Amen.
I mean, I can't imagine. I'd hate to have to shoot somebody, but I would if I had to. But I wouldn't want to. And I hope I never have to be put in that position. But if I had a gun and somebody walked in here and carrying a gun, I would shoot and ask questions later. If he walked through the door with a gun in his hand, I figure he means me harm here. And so Tim asked me this morning, he said, should I take him out? And he said, what if everybody starts shooting toward me? I said, son, you got to take one for the team every now and then. And but anyway, the truth of the matter is, if somebody walks in here carrying a gun, if any of you've got a gun, I want you to put them down. Because he's coming with the intent. If I had a gun on me and I was in the mall and somebody walked in and started to aim a gun, I would shoot him. You say, preacher, I'm not going to sit back and let him shoot me. And I'm not going to let him shoot everybody else. My point is this. People let things build up in their lives. And most of the time, they begin to vent it to family members, to friends, social media, and you'll find out most of these have been venting and fuming things upon these issues. And they're pretty much telling people that they're going to do something many times. And most of the time they find, when they go back and look, that some people had an idea that this person was going off their rocker a little bit and they had a problem in that issue. But the Bible tells us that in these last days, men should be lovers of their own self. People doesn't look and they don't care for anybody else. They're so selfish. They only think of themselves. And by the way, can I say this? Please listen to me. I think suicide is one of the most selfish sins that you can ever commit. When you take your life and leave loved ones behind, shame on you. You say, well, preacher, you don't know how bad. I know one thing, that God can get us and work through anything. But you let God decide when it's your time to go, and you don't decide that, amen? And I understand. Now, turning your Bibles, and by the way, there are things also, I think there's some things that we are involved, and I want you young guys, listen to me a minute. I'm serious. Many of you play these video games, violent video games, walking in, killing, and doing these things. You keep games in perspective, but when you begin to try to live out those games, it can be very, very dangerous. If you're not careful, what it does is it makes you insensitive to shooting someone and taking someone's life. But it even goes deeper than that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see this. Some people doesn't understand this, but I want you to get this a minute. In Matthew chapter 5, look with me what Jesus said in verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not what? Kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of what? The judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca. You know what Raca means? And Raca means a term is empty head. A term we use, now listen, young people, listen to me. Moron. The root word of moron comes from Raca. What it is when you begin to belittle someone else underneath you. You begin to think someone else is less than you are. And when you begin to think someone else's life is not as important to you, then what you begin to do is you begin to portray upon that life, and you don't have any sympathy of that life, and therefore you don't take consideration for the feelings of those people. And listen, I know we're not all created the same, but God wants you to love and have respect for one another. Don't get in the habit, and listen, the easiest thing in the world, and I tell Chris this sometimes, we mess with the guys and girls both, and girls are worse than this than guys, but guys can do it too. They're bad to get two or three together and form a little club and isolate one. And when they isolate one, they want to belittle that one. And they want to make fun of that one. You need to be careful. Look what Jesus said. He said, whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be danger of counsel. And whosoever shall say, thou fool. The fool is the same thing as moron and all that. It's just a Greek term. Shall be in danger what? God doesn't take it lightly when you begin to look at someone and think their life's not important. Somebody said, well, these babies that's born with defects. Well, I knew one that was born. One parent had TB. The other one had another issue. And one baby was born deaf, one was born blind, one born dead, and he was a fifth one. And most people said, well, you need to execute him. His name was Beethoven. And you know how he come about. In today's society, he would have been aborted because people thought he would not be worthy to be born. Let me tell you something. God does not give you the privilege or the right. And when you get where your opinion is that you're looking down upon other people and thinks other people, whether it's because of their skin color, whether it's because of their sex, whether it's because of their wealth, whether it's because of their society, when you get where you look down upon other people and you don't see them as a human being and you don't see them with feelings, you've got problems.
Amen.
And you need to be very careful. I don't care where they are. Everybody's got a soul. And I understand some people have seared their souls, and the only thing you can do, I talked about some of these MS-13. Their souls, some of their souls are so calloused and cold, they can cut you up, they can kill you, they can skin you, and laugh the whole time they're doing it. People like that need to be put out of society. Not sent back, they need to be put to death. And it's up to this government to protect us from evil people. That's why these dictators that's killing and torturing hundreds of thousands of people, our presidents and so forth, need to get their attention sometimes. I like what Reagan did. Gaddafi got running his mouth, got doing all those things. He put a missile right in his chair where he sat at his desk. Let him think a little bit. And let him think, boy, that could have been me, and he could have been there. My point is this, we need to be very careful. In today's society, the longer that we are away from the Lord's coming, the more violent people are going to get. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. They get where they are rejecting God's judgments, and they begin to put in their own. And they think they have the answers. And somebody said, shouldn't you be sympathetic and just let people come across a border? But the Bible teaches that we are to have borders, and countries are to protect borders. And we are sovereign countries. And if they want to come through and if they're good people and they've got a good cause to be here, let them come the right way like everybody else has. But you don't let murderers and thieves and thugs come through and kill people. I can't imagine what it's like to live down there next to that border. If it's unfenced territory and how people coming through your... I hear some of them, just they can't take a walk without strapping guns all over themselves, afraid of somebody come out and try to attack them and kill them. I can't imagine what that's like. But it should never happen in a sovereign country like this. But my point is this. Somebody said, I don't understand who would do something like this. Anybody's capable. That's why you've got to, number one, have the Lord in your life. Number two, you got to learn to keep yourself things in perspective and don't get caught up in all this stuff. And don't get desensitized about a human life. Number three, don't be a part of belittling other people.
That's right. Amen.
And making fun of them and things like that. Learn. You may be good at one thing, but they may be good at something else. Everybody's made differently. And God says that you're in danger when you start calling people fools and morons. Don't do that. Because they got her feelings too. And they hurt. And you've got to understand, and you've got to be able to relate that, amen? So be very careful. Pray for our nation. Pray for the leaders of our country. But understand that the heart is where murders come from. And you know, some people says, well, why is it important that I raise my children in church and Sunday school? Hopefully God will change their heart. Hopefully you'll put them in an environment. When we lived over in Clay County, my grandfather told my dad, said, you need to get Billy out here and get him in an environment that's more healthy for him, because people he's running with, and sure enough, about everybody I ran with is either dead today or in prison. And the environment you put your children in means an awful lot too. So be wise. What you let your children see, what you let your children read, where you let your children go, and the people they run with. And don't believe that when you say, I know they do, I'm not going to. Birds of a feather flock together. And it happens. So be wise, amen. Let's stand. I can imagine how much they're grieving. Even the parents of the guy who was shot and killed, that killed his sister, imagine how those parents. I couldn't help but think and wonder what kind of setting that guy had, how he was raised, what he was taught. Was he taken to church? Was he taught certain things in his home? That goes through my mind. Same way with this guy down in Texas. I wonder about that. Those 8 or 9 killed in Chicago. What are they being taught? How are they being raised? Have they replaced God with their own ideas and philosophies? Dangerous recipe. Amen. Let's sing.